Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
Welcome back. It's Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth here on The Advertising Show, being brought to you by Advertising Age magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a copyrighted Big Radio Midgets production. As always, a great show today. We've got DJ Edgerton, CEO and founder of Zmoga, and that is going to be a great interview. We've got DJ in New York this time around, and we will talk to him about his agency and about what he's been up to, and give you a little bit more background as well. Jeremy Kent, our European correspondent, is joining us here momentarily as well. Basically, there in Britain right about now is going on an interesting thing. It's a marketing campaign, not just any marketing campaign. It's called Exploring Islam Foundation. It's being funded by those folks. In other words, what they're trying to do is basically change the shape of the way people are perceiving Islam and all that kind of good stuff. But Jeremy has more, and we'll tell you more about that in just a moment as well. So good stuff to come your way here with Ray and Brad, and we hope you'll stick around. Glad you're part of the show. Conan O'Brien still pops up in the news, Brad. He is, once again, obviously they're going to be the TBS thing that they're going to launch here relatively soon. But they're also launching a tongue-in-cheek, for your consideration, Emmy advertising campaign. When they launched that to talk show on the Turner Network on November the 8th. Man, that's a long time out. Give this man one more thing to tweet about, one of the ads says, next to a picture of Conan. TBS doesn't seem to mind where he's previously strut his comedic stuff. Conan's great work in 09 and 2010 deserves Emmy consideration, according to the folks at the Turner Entertainment Networks. I don't know about you, but, you know, and I don't want to downplay the fact that he's going to be back on television and such, but that whole thing was so doggone squirrely and weird, and now he's on what you would consider to be, with all due respect to Mr. Turner, an ancillary network in terms of, notoriety and such. It ain't ABC. It's not NBC. It's not CBS. It's Turner Broadcast. So what do you think about that? I mean, are they making too much out of this whole thing or what?
Well, you know, I saw I caught up on an old 60 Minutes I'd recorded a while back, and it was on featuring who we're now speaking of, Conan. And, you know, I got to tell you, I don't know about you, Ray. I know we've talked about a little bit about this when all this broke loose, but this crap about, you know, trying to put this off on Jay Leno for taking the job. I mean, you and I, anybody would have taken the job if they offered it to you. And it was Conan that quit the job because he wasn't happy with what they were wanting to do. And, you know, the executives have a company to run. And part of that is programming, which generates ratings that generates revenue ultimately. So I don't know. Will he do well on TBS? I agree with you. He could have gone. They didn't have room for him. But, you know, look what's happened over at Comedy Central with a couple nice, programs there with Stewart and the spinoff from Stewart.
Well, that's true. That's really true. I should take that in consideration as well. Makes you wonder why Jon Stewart didn't make it as a contender for The Tonight Show. Wouldn't that have been an interesting change of pace, huh?
Well, you go with what you know, and, you know, Jay left on top and generated revenue while he was there with his ratings, so, you know, why not return? You know, for Conan to say during that 60 Minutes interview that he wouldn't have handled it the way Leno handled it, I think it's just stupid. Who would not have taken that job back? He didn't want to go to begin with.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's almost like the little kid who got his ball taken away from him. It's like, You know, go buy another ball or something. I guess that's what he's done at TBS. So.
Hey, do I have time to talk a little bit about the MTV Movie Awards, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they took major rating hits this past week. Compared to last year's ratings, they were down by 13%, even after coverage was expanded to MTV's sister network, VH1. It's speculated that the NBA Finals, as well as the Stanley Cup Finals may have had a little bit to do with that. I frankly see it as a different audience that would be at the MTV Movie Awards than the Stanley Cup and NBC Finals. But this Sandra Bullock thing, kissing Scarlett Johansson, it reminded me, I've been wanting to mention to you, Ray, if you and I are ever on stage, I'll go with the cheek, you know, a peck on the cheek.
I'll go with a handshake. A handshake will be fine with
handshake would be better.
High five. Yeah. Thanks, but no thanks. Don't need to see that.
What is this all about? Everybody's kissing women these days. I mean, you know, it's making Howard Stern look like Disney, like Walt Disney now. You know, I don't know.
Who also kissed women,
just and had women not kissing other women. Yeah.
And speaking of pizza, no transition. I didn't know Papa John's was a Louisville outlet, but it is Papa John's International, and they do have good pizza. This is not a commercial plug, but it's good. NFL has chosen Papa John's as their pizza sponsor. Okay, it's a great idea. The three-year multi-million-dollar contract kicks off the upcoming season, runs through the 2012 season. It's the largest sponsorship deal in Papa John's history. The company would not specify a dollar amount. Papa John's is the third-largest pizza company behind Pizza Hut and Domino's, and said the sponsorship means it can use the NFL logos and trademarks, including the NFL Shield logo in its advertising and marketing. The marketing officer, who's Andrew Vargas, said the affiliation will greatly enhance our brand-building efforts. A Louisville-based company plans a multi-pronged blitz that includes advertising, promotions, digital campaigns. Well, I would hope so. They have a lot of stuff going for it. So look for Papa John's to be part of the NFL, and because it's just a fresh deal for them, I guess.
And a part of your halftime activities.
Something like that. But if you've got it, you know, frankly, Papa John's to me comes closest to great pizza when you put it up against the other guys as well. Domino's, Pizza Hut.
It's a great time. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's good timing for them, and it's a good opportunity as well. Here at the Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. About to find out a little bit more about DJ Edgerton, who is a CEO and co-founder of Zemoga, Z-E-M-O-G-A. And we're going to talk to DJ here in just a few moments here. Right now, Jeremy Kent, let's find out more what that marketing campaign is all about going on over there. Jeremy is our European correspondent here at the Advertising Show. Always something new and, of course, always something timely. Let's go ahead and listen.
Hello and welcome to the European News Desk. I'm Jeremy Kent. This week, Brits associate Islam with terrorism, Sky buys Virgin TV, and David Beckham appears in a galaxy far, far away. The Exploring Islam Foundation has launched a new ad campaign designed to challenge the negative perceptions of Muslims held by the wider British public. The foundation set out to frame the current attitudes with an online poll which showed that 58% of UK adults associate Islam with extremism. 50% link the religion with terrorism, and 69% believe that Islam encourages the repression of women. The new Inspired by Muhammad campaign will appear on the London Underground, bus stops and taxis, and will feature Muslim professionals highlighting the Prophet's teachings on the importance of the environment, gender equality and social justice. On the whole, the campaign has been welcomed as a helpful step to improve relations between Muslims and non-Muslims in the UK. There's more consolidation in the UK media, and in what was a widely anticipated move, BSkyB has agreed to purchase Virgin Media Television for just over $230 million. Regulators might yet block the move, but if the acquisition is completed, all ad sales for Virgin Media TV will move to Sky Media in January 2011. However, last month, the UK's Competition Commission called for a review of the system for selling TV advertising, and the Office of Fair Trading is considering whether or not to refer the BSkyB bid at the moment. Most in the industry believe that the deal will go ahead without problems, and they are predicting further consolidation over the next 12 months. In a separate move, the OFT recently announced a study into the way outdoor advertising is traded after observing that it was concentrated in the hands of a few specialist buyers and media owners. Moving on to another galaxy, David Beckham, Snoop Dogg and Noel Gallagher appear in a reworked scene from Star Wars as Adidas unveils its latest installment of the 2010 Originals campaign. The ad's first TV airing was on June 12, but the full-length film had been seeded on YouTube a couple of weeks earlier. Produced in association with Lucasfilm, the ad recreated the Mos Eisley cantina scene with much of the original footage being worked into the commercial. Adidas believed that the bar scene brings together artists, musicians and athletes and others that wear and associate with the original's brand. It is worth taking a look at the 2-minute YouTube version just to see the excellent digital work. From London, this is Jeremy Kent for The Advertising Show.
Many thanks to our friend and European correspondent, Jeremy Kent, here at The Advertising Show. Always a pleasure each week to have Jeremy contribute to the show. So thanks a bunch, Jeremy. DJ Edgerton is our special guest today. He is CEO and founder of Zemoga. Has worked in the traditional and digital agency space for over 20 years. During that time, he has specialized in developing and leveraging technology to provide groundbreaking business solutions for Fortune 500 companies. His range of expertise includes development of large-scale, enterprise-wide custom applications, digital campaigns that feature award-winning design, user experience, and information architecture. And we'll learn more about DJ and the company as well as we go throughout the show here. But DJ, thanks for taking time out of your day here to join us here at The Advertising Show. Great to have you here.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. I appreciate your time as well.
Yeah, to get us started, DJ, tell us a little bit about the origins of augmented reality and who some of the early adopters have been.
Oh, okay. Well, probably the most common one that I reference, and probably the first one that was exposed to the general market, was the NFL's use of augmented reality to indicate the first down marker. I'm sure everyone's familiar with the yellow line.
Sure.
That runs across a field. Well, that line actually doesn't exist. It's generated through computer technology on the fly and then broadcast accordingly. Basically, what augmented reality is, it's a combination of reality that has a digital component integrated into it to create a new sort of combined reality. That's the common definition. So that's probably the first adoption of it in the marketplace that I like to reference, because it's easy for people to understand that they've seen it before, it exists, but it really doesn't, because obviously they're not pulling a big yellow ribbon across the field every time.
Yeah, you know,
a new first down.
Right.
My wife and I took our 7-year-old nephew to an NFL game, and he wanted to know where is that strike?
Where was it, man?
Yeah, where'd that go? So AR has been around a lot longer than many may be aware of. I understand that you gave more of a commercial application, but I understand that there are some early examples of how augmented reality was used in training, for example, with the aerospace industry, or as well as some applications for people that are working in electronics and so forth. Can you chat a little bit about that?
Absolutely. One of the benefits to augmented reality is the ability to prototype without actually building out real three-dimensional objects in real space. And early adoption of that in the military. Now, I am not of the military ilk, so I have no clearance at all. But my understanding in getting my group up to speed on the technology was the ability to, not only from flight simulation, but also in creating devices, electronic devices or 3D renderings of devices that you could manipulate in the real world and understand its relationship to the actual live space. An example would be a soldier being presented with, if he's wearing a headset, because there's many different ways that you can view an augmented reality, and that individual sees a potential threat or a potential friendly, and they are trained on making, hair trigger decisions. That's an example of how augmented reality has been used in the military, especially for yep. the manufacturing industry. Being able to understand how a product works in real space without actually having to generate that product from something as easy as handling it, as well as what it might look in a space. that's how it's used in other sort of commercial
manufacturing
purposes that aren't necessarily marketing driven. I think one of the most exciting things, which is just starting to be adopted, is how it can and will be used in the healthcare and pharmaceutical space, especially the device manufacturing space.
Oh, yeah.
I want to get into a little of the commercial applications, but just to lay a nice solid foundation, as best I could tell, a decent definition, and see if you agree with this, is augmented reality is the interaction of superimposed graphics, audio, and other sense enhancements over a real-world environment displayed in real time. Is that a fair enough definition, DJ?
That is Wikipedia worthy.
Well, I'm not sure if I got that there or one of our producers. I think they may have gotten it from your website at Zemoga.com. But do you have time to just briefly, as we wrap up this segment, give us a little sense of where you see AR being used in a commercial application, not necessarily from a particular channel, but more so from an interaction or connectivity with the consumer?
I love to use an example that we were fortunate enough to be assigned, if that's okay, because I think it's a great way to connect a brand with a consumer. In the first quarter, we did a project for Wise Foods for their Cheese Doodles brand, which is geared towards, obviously, younger consumers. And what Wise had done is they had created these three characters called the Cheese Dudes. This was something that the brand had created on their own. And they wanted, the challenge was, how can we get younger kids to interact and adopt these characters as something that represents, you know, an image that the brand supported, stepping, you know, away from the Cheetos character that, you know, has often been criticized for being slightly more mature and not necessarily geared towards younger kids, almost the Joe Campbell of the snack food world.
Good way to put it.
Yeah, so we were well aware of that character having, you know, traction, and some of the research showed that it wasn't the most attractive for, especially for Wise, which is a very family-oriented brand. What we ended up doing was creating a contest and a game that allowed kids to interact with an augmented reality application, but it wasn't just having the kids print out the markers and just real quickly, markers are the little graphics that your video camera on your computer, and now 70%+ of all computers have a webcam of some sort, either integrated or third party. The camera takes a picture of that marker, and then through the application recognizes through the web a particular three-dimensional character that it applies on that marker on the screen. So if you hold the marker and look at it, in reality, there's nothing on it. But if you look at the screen and yourself on the screen, there's a little character on it. And you can manipulate that character with the keyboard or with your hands. If you take the marker and put it on your shoulder, the character's on your shoulder. And it's very, very interesting and very entertaining for kids. Well, what we did, which kind of pushed it a little further, was we asked kids to take these three characters and build a stage on their desk or their tabletop as if they were stage designers. And then hit a record button, and those characters would play a song. And that recorded video of the characters playing in the environment that the kids had created became an entry for a contest for kids to win an entire real collection of instruments, not GarageBand, but actual a set of drums, a guitar,
that's pretty cool,
a bass, and amplifiers and microphone. Wow. So it was pretty pretty well received. And the great thing about it is we saw an enormous amount of time and interaction between the kids. Like, the kids would do it once, and then they might not have liked it, so they'd do it again. And there were multiple submissions. It was a really, really effective, and in my opinion, a sort of a hint to what is coming with regards to brands interacting with our consumers interacting with brands in a different and unique way.
DJ Edgerton is our special guest, CEO and founder of Zemoga, out of actually a U.S.-based company with tentacles all over the world, as a matter of fact, Bogota, Colombia, Wilton, Connecticut, and, of course, New York City as well. DJ probably never thought about becoming an accountant, because I don't think you could sit still for that long, but it sounds like you're in a great profession here as we move through the advertising show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. Being, we're helped out by Schiphol.com. It's S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com. and a platform called Tendency, which is one incredible marketing platform. Check it out, Schiphol.com. More about Zmoga and DJ, and of course, we'll have more conversation with Ray and Brad here, too, on The Advertising Show. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth.
Look, Ram called Coney Island Penny Machine. Win a prize. Let's go in. Look at the wonderful prizes you can win. I'm going to win a watch for you.
Welcome back to The Advertising Show. Ray Schillins, Brad Forsyth out of New York this weekend is DJ Edgerton, CEO of Zemoga, Zemoga.com, Zemoga.com is the place. DJ spent a few years at other places beyond Zemoga. That was an 01 creation for you. Held executive level positions at Blast Radius and Context Integration. Prior to joining Context, DJ founded Underline, a creative and digital agency at Underline. He worked on traditional campaigns and pioneering interactive work for numerous well-known companies, including Nickelodeon, Merck, Morgan Stanley, and the Walt Disney Company as well. Talk about a great place for imagination and new technology and such as well. That must have been a good time there as well, DJ. But welcome back to the show. Good to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Underline sounds like the agency for Spanx, right? Anyway, you were talking before, as we wrapped up the segment there, DJ, about Wise Cheese Doodles, as well as your interactive AR campaign for Wise Cheese Doodles. I think you called it the Rock the Cheese game. Is there a website we can direct our listeners to if they're interested in checking that out?
Absolutely. It's cheesedoodles.com. So it's CHEEZ doodles.com. The contest is over, but the functions are still there for the AR.
Cool. Great.
I thought some of our listeners
may be interested. Go ahead. I'm sorry, DJ.
No, he said he had to have an end date on the contest, so that's fine.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah, and I understand, DJ, smartphones have been an area of growing interest for AR. Give us a sense of where AR is going with mobile and why smartphones are such a great platform for the integration of augmented reality.
Well, as people sort of do the transfer of their behavior with technology from the desktop to the handheld smartphone, the expectation of the interaction and the information available, obviously the bar raises substantially. With the integration of geolocation as well as the ability for a camera to recognize markers in the real world, that opens up a whole host of things that can be done where an organization can actually execute an information distribution system or, obviously attached with marketing and advertising that presents to a person who holds up their smartphone in an area and allows them to present not only offers but information about a location. So there's an opportunity really to push the device itself. I mean, it's really limited to a user's tolerance of the consumption space. We're so used to the big, giant, flat screens that really have only been around for, 7 or 10 years. But now we're expecting a lot of information to be pressed inside a small device. It's one of the things that I think is interesting about the iPad because the assumption that some developers we also developed for the iPad, the assumption that we're making based on hints that we're given is that there will be a camera. It will be a geolocated device with the integration of the camera, and the presentation space is obviously a lot larger than it is on a on an Android or an iPhone.
Hmm. Yeah, we're talking to you from New York City today, and a lot of brands embracing augmented reality along the lines of Sex and the City, for example, released a New York City map where fans could visit real NYC locations that were part of the memorable moments, so to speak, of Sex and the City, as well as I was hearing you talk about mobile, and I understand Yelp, and this is just kind of going from memory, the dining website that gives reviews and so forth that are consumer reviews offers some kind of application for AR that you can actually, I mean, maybe you know more about it than I, DJ, but as I recall, it's something like being able to stand in front of a restaurant with your mobile and it senses where you are and can give you offers or give you critiques of that particular restaurant.
Yeah, I think they're just in the early stages of the development and releases of that. I think there's going to be a lot more functions as they roll it out further. It's really a pretty cool concept. You know, Yelp has been criticized often as well for some of the reviews being not necessarily the most unbiased. I think that the augmented reality component is going to bring a lot more people to the table, literally, to involve themselves, because you're going to get a lot more information, and it's going to be more timely because it's going to be right where you are, right then and there. I think it'll be some pretty cool stuff. There's a whole bunch of things out there. You know, there's a thing everyone's talking today. You know, the flavor of the day is Twitter, and you know, this microblogging, which it's almost like a natural progression of our ADD culture. There's an app called Twitter Round, which is pretty interesting. It shows you where tweets are coming from. Mm-hmm. So if there are tweets, like what are the most local tweets that are currently being executed? It's kind of voyeuristic, but very, very interesting.
Yeah. You know, I'm curious, is AR a good fit, DJ, for all companies? As with any emerging technology, you would seem to think that some lend themselves better to certain businesses than others. Is there any particular brand categories that AR is a better fit for than others?
Well, I think product companies that want to give people the opportunity to experience a product without necessarily having to go in storeroom or in showroom is a there's a benefit there for the consumer. Tissot just released a augmented reality sort of shopping experience that allows you to literally put the watch on your wrist and you see what you look like with the watch on. That's pretty powerful stuff for consumers to choose from a collection of watches. Simply put a marker on their wrist, and when they look into the screen, the actual watches is on their wrist and moves with them. You know, it's reminds me of that Saturday Night Live with Joe Pesci where he's trying on the pinky rings.
So an image is actually being projected on the pupil of the eye. Is that how that works? And
I'm sorry, what was that?
Go ahead.
It's not necessarily on the eye, isn't it, as it relates to, I mean, how is the image connected to the human then?
Okay, so what ends up happening is, let's assume for a second that the person has a relatively modern machine with modern software in it, and they have a webcam either integrated into their laptop or machine, or they have a third-party camera. When you open up an augmented reality application, it's often run through Flash, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. And what ends up happening is the camera recognizes the application. So the video that's being fed through your camera goes into the app that's sitting on your desktop. You know, it's a client-side app, and it waits for you to take the marker, and the marker is literally just a black and white sort of collection of very high contrast squares, and they can come in different sizes, and you have to print the marker out. The other thing is that you can obviously do is you can do what Doritos did, where you can print it on the product itself. Once you print the marker out, in the case of the Tissot augmented reality app, you just put it in the area on your wrist that would be centered to where the face of the watch would be. When you hold it up to the monitor and the camera reads the marker, it generates a three-dimensional image in real time of the watch on your wrist. And if you were to turn your wrist slowly, because this is very new technology, so the processing is just being perfected, if you turn your wrist slowly, although there's only a piece of paper on your wrist in reality, if you look at the screen of the computer, the watch is on your wrist. It doesn't get more powerful than that. You don't have to leave your house to find out which model of watch you like.
I love it.
The beauty of it is you can be assured that if you like the model and what it looks like, there's a click-to-buy button right there.
Of course there is. I want one of those right now, as a matter of fact. DJ Edgerton is our special guest, CEO of Zemoga. Zemoga.com is the website. And we've got more of the interview continuing in just a moment here. Stay right here at the Advertising Show with Ray and Brad. Our special guest at the Advertising Show today is DJ Edgerton, co-founder of Zemoga. A U.S.-based company has connections, actually, all over the world, Bogota, Colombia, Wilton, Connecticut, and doing some incredible things. If you've been listening, hopefully you've been listening to the whole interview thus far. This is some pretty cool stuff. This is a lot more exciting than just a yellow line on a football field. This is a whole new way of thinking about demonstrating, distributing, causing people to desire your product and service and such. So, DJ, it's great to have you here. Welcome back.
Thanks again.
Yeah, it appears that mobile is where augmented reality is migrating to, and it'll become more and more as we go forward. Geotargeting advertising certainly is a hot topic these days. I understand we're looking at combining the two, and yet I would imagine, DJ, that this could become an issue with regard to, you know, we're walking down the street in Manhattan, and all of a sudden on our mobile device we're being spammed by, you know, various commercial entities wanting to get our attention about, you know, what we're standing in front of or what's just before us. Are there any issues that are being anticipated or maybe even being experienced currently by consumers with regard to geo-based augmented reality platforms?
I would say that the groundswell of consumer outrage hasn't gotten to any level that is even worth paying attention to right now because the adoption is so new. I can assure you, though, that if advertisers and manufacturers, software companies as well, are not incredibly smart with how they use private information, and that may that also includes tracking your location. If they do not use that intelligently and give consumers the clearest opportunity to opt out of that type of stuff, then there will be major outrage. The assumption currently is if the value exchange between the consumer and the service provider, the value exchange to the consumer is high enough, that consumer will opt in for whatever information is being presented by the software, in this case geo-targeting. So if you know, if you're obsessed with, I'm going to make something up here, you're obsessed with collectible trains, and there's a software out there that knows where every collectible train store is, and you're going to opt in for when you're walking down Broadway, whatever town, USA it is, and you get a text message that is probably a sponsored text message saying, hey, there's a great store here, you're going to find that information useful because you've opted in for it. If you're getting a $5 off coupon for a steak and you're a vegetarian and you didn't want that information, you're going to be pretty upset. So, sure. You know, just as Facebook is learning what to do, you know, the hard way, I think marketers are going to probably make some mistakes and stumble a few times, and consumers will let them know what they can get away with.
That makes sense.
You know, according to ABI research, the total market for augmented reality is expected to hit $350 million by 2014, up from currently, not currently, but a few years ago, $6 million in 2008. You guys, Zemoga, are a digital marketing firm. What mix of your client base are pursuing augmented reality type engagements with your firm? Is it a pretty higher level of mix than what most might be thought to have as a digital agency, or is it still pretty new across the board for all your clients?
I would have to say that for us to be able to create a practice around augmented reality, the demand obviously needed to be there. So we have customers that are very interested in what is available out there, what they can do, and they're engaging us to make the business argument for why this is a smart thing. I think some of the greatest opportunity for augmented reality is in education and in the healthcare space. So that to be able to see as a patient how to use a particular diabetic device or to see how a drug runs through your heart as you hold, you know, a model of a heart in your hand that's pumping is amazing. To be a physician, to be able to see how a stent, you know, solves a particular cardiovascular problem, it's an amazing way to really, really engage individuals, and in this case, obviously, patients and caregivers and physicians.
You know, just one final question, DJ, before we let you go. If it's a $350 million business in 2014, where do you see AR in, say, you know, the next 5 years? How do you get to $350 million? What are some of the innovative ideas you see that are going to be happening that are way under the radar right now for AR?
I think long-form content online will incorporate augmented components. So characters will start to play with you as you consume content online. I think that's one thing. It's across the board for kids, for adults. There's a whole bunch of opportunity there, and obviously for advertisers. So I think the innovations will be, and I think that number is probably, in my opinion, if the consumers are as responsive as they've been in the short term, the number will exceed that. We're seeing the demand, pretty strong for the work, and I think it's a great opportunity for digital agencies across the board to be able to really push the envelope in engagement. So in the next 5 years, you're going to see a lot of advertisers and content providers, putting the markers out there so that you can, participate and engage with the content in a wholly new way.
DJ, you found a great niche here and founded a great company as well. Zemoga.com is the website, and I guess just a good tagline would be stay tuned, because you never know what's coming next here. And we want to say thanks for joining us today. Hope you had a good time, and hope our listeners also enjoyed hearing you as well. So thanks for being here.
Thanks again, guys. Ray and Brad, I appreciate it.
On the Advertising Show, Ray and Brad back with more in just a moment. Our thanks again to DJ Edgerton, CEO of Zemoga, Zemoga.com is the website. Next week, by the way, we've got Jonathan Salem Baskin, North American Director of Future Lab. This is all about the future, isn't it?
And he has three names.
Yeah, I think we'll just use one or the other, but we don't have to go with
John.
Three.
Just do John.
Yeah, John with no H. but anyway, that'll be fun. Well, incredible stuff, too. And, you know, it's interesting, too. Normally we request that our guests, connecting via phone, have a landline, so to speak. And, you know, right. Landlines are becoming not a thing of the past, but not as prevalent as they used to be. And DJ was actually talking to us on his iPhone and a new application, a voiceover IP application. What was it called again, Brad? I don't...
I didn't catch the name, but it's basically a version of Skype, but it's unique to Apple, and it's, you know... So he was sitting in an office in Manhattan where he probably didn't get a good cell signal, but was able to just, you know, go through a Wi-Fi, had a much better Wi-Fi signal, and basically did an Apple version of a Skype call to us, which I thought it sounded pretty clear.
It sounded fantastic, right? Absolutely, and it's called Line 2... And the company is called Talk to Me for that application. So
thanks for clarifying that.
Certainly, but you know this augmented stuff is so I should say augmented reality is so interesting as well. We didn't really get a chance to talk about this on the air, but we did off the air about the synthetic vision in airplane cockpits. Now, if you look at a modern airplane these days, you won't find gauges and whistles and bells and all that kind of stuff. It's basically CRTs, usually three or four of them across the cockpit. And one of those makers of that product is Synthetic Vision. So basically, if you're flying in an area where you've got incredibly poor vision as far as reference to ground and obstacles on the ground, you've got an ability to see what's out there. Very accurately, I might add, and I think that's pretty cool. So,
You know, it real quickly, I miscued on a question. I didn't know where he was going with that, and he clarified that it was on the mobile. But I was doing a little research for today's interview, and what you're talking about, you there are these devices you put on a goggles, like for a jet pilot, and they're projecting an image on your pupil, but yet it has such a small wordage to it that it actually looks like it's far away, but it's really, you know, very close to you, and so you're looking at it out in the distance and you're able to read it, but in truth it's being projected on your pupil from, what, 2 inches away.
Unbelievable. Let's hope nothing goes wrong with that possibility.
The
Advertising Show. I hope you enjoyed it. Tell your friends about the Advertising Show as well. Next week, Jonathan Salem Baskin, North American Director at Future Lab. And again, thanks to our guest today, DJ Edgerton, CEO of Zemoga at Zemoga.com. With Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, be sure and tell a friend about the Advertising Show, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit Ad Age online at adage.com. Hope you enjoyed it, and we'll talk to you next week. The Advertising Show is a copyrighted Big Radio Midgets production.
Under pressure? Get creative concepts fast. Run a global pitch on openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 advertising and marketing creators from 125 countries. Simply take 15 minutes to fill out our online brief form and we'll take care of the rest. From world-class agencies to the best independents to the brightest freelancers, openad.net global creatives can deliver creative concepts direct to your desktop in a matter of days. Why not save time, energy, and money by quickly sourcing concepts from the world's brightest creative minds? Visit openad.net and see how we're revolutionizing the way ideas are created and traded. It's simple, it's fast, and it's global. Openad.net, the smarter way to create your advertising from the freshest creative minds on the planet. Visit openad.net today to find out more.